Welcome to the NPL Sunday Night Show, powered by the Brisbane Football Review.
Person there at the back post. She manufactures a ball back into the area, and it looks as though Emma Starr draws first blood in the grand final.
Hosted by Scott Owen.
Well, firstly, what a surprise Adam goes for a game at Moreton Bay.
And Adam Pace.
Yeah, wars will start over less.
Eastern Suburbs stand on Suncorp Stadium as champions. 2023 NPLW champions.
Your weekly NPL recap starts now.
And welcome to the NPL Sunday Show here on the Brisbane Football Review. It's Scott, and as usual, every Sunday night. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. We celebrated Female Football Week in this part of the country, or maybe around the country. I haven't actually looked outside of our great state, but nonetheless, a big weekend of football was played this weekend.
Absolutely. Plenty of football played over the weekend in league and cup action, as you heard our NPL Women's Grand Final recap there to start off the show for Female Football Weekend. It was the NPL Queensland Women's Competition, which took centre stage this weekend with the men having the weekend off, didn't it, Adam? And then it was some great football played over the course of the weekend in both league and cup.
It was. You did say that the men did take the weekend off. Some of them did, because we have Kappa Pro Series action. So, but on the women's side of the draw, another big week and some big games and some big results from the league. And that competition now is starting to get into near midway point, and the field is starting to settle, and we're starting to see who the contenders and the pretenders are.
Absolutely. We'll get to that men's Kappa Pro Series match day 5 action later on in the show, as well as the Queensland Cup action. There were some very, very interesting results over the last 7 days also. But we'll start with league action, as we always do here on the Brisbane Football Review. Round 12 of the NPL Women's Competition started. Our feature game for the weekend was up at AJ Kelly Park in Redcliffe between Peninsula Power and South Shannon. A 2-0 win for the visiting South Shannon here. Adam, goals from Shana Singh and Abby Lloyd in the second half gave South the win on this occasion. And it was difficult conditions up there on the Peninsula on Saturday evening, and they did quite well to get the win in this game. Peninsula Power against the Peninsula side, which had plenty of opportunities but couldn't capitalise on any of them.
I think the best way to describe South United's win is they were opportunistic and they took their chances when they did. Other than that, it was a fairly even contest. The two goals in the second half that South did score, they did come from both defensive errors from Peninsula Power. And that, at the end of the day, I think that was the tail of the tape, because overall, Peninsula Power had, especially, they were finishing off the stronger, just couldn't take their opportunities in the end. I think that's the one issue that I think Mick Gallo would be looking to address with his side.
Yeah, we might talk about Peninsula Power in a moment. It's the second time we've seen South United this year in person. We saw them against Brisbane City earlier in the season at home at Wakeley Park, and it was a win for Brisbane City on that occasion. But South were very, very competitive in that game, and it's very clear that this year they're a much better side than they have been in the past in terms of consistently producing their best, because we've seen them in previous years do well in the cup and inconsistent in the league. But this year, they're showing a lot more consistency, and they look like they could be a genuine team that can push for finals. And the way they're playing, we'll talk about it now, but the way the team is playing, they got the goals up front with Abby Lloyd, but the rest of the team around them look very, very strong as well. And Faith Stevenson at the back, who we said last week, an addition mid-season, she's added a lot to that back line. It looks a very, very solid and well-rounded team.
It is, and I think that they're the two big, I guess, pieces of the puzzle that need to be solved from last season. As you said, that South United, they're a cup specialist by way of either, you know, having sort of luck of the draw, bouncing on the other side to all the big guns in the cup the last couple of years and make it to the final through that path. But also as well, you also make your own luck. And in the past, they have shown in glimpses. This year, as you said, I think it's a lot more consistent. I think Trent Gregson has done an excellent job building this squad. I think he's got some very, very handy players. Abby Lloyd, again, we've said a number of times, I think it's such a big big sign, because she's the tip of the spear as far as attack goes. And I don't think there's a game goes by that, you know, at least that sort of that's strikers, you know, one goal every two games ratio. She certainly fits that bill, and the team that has around it, I think as well is a very, very good side, and a lot of experience as well, especially sort of in regards to in the sort of attacking and midfield.
Absolutely, they have some very good experienced players. You're right, no doubt about that. And they were missing both Sonny and Elise Franco in this game as well. Two very important players in the attacking third for them. They were still able to get the win in this game, and it's been a really tough week actually for South in terms of the teams they've had to play. Last week on the show, I mentioned that they played Mitchelton at home, won that game by 3-1, and they played Brisbane City at home in the Cup this week. We'll talk about it later on, but they won that game as well. Then they beat Peninsula Power away from home this week. And then they got Gold Coast away midweek, next week in a catch-up game. So four tough games back-to-back. To be 3 wins out of 3 at this point, that really does underscore the consistency in performance that Trent Gregson's found in his side this year.
Absolutely. That's a tough run. There are four games in about 10 days. Gold Coast United are going to face the same, but they've had the luxury of a lot of those games, I think, being, other than for Gold Coast United, other trip up the M1 to Lions, and the rest of the games have been at Talabudra, and I think that definitely they've been doing most of it on the road as well. South United, especially these last two legs, but Inchel Power's not an easy place. AJ Kelly Park's not an easy place to go and get a win. So to get this win in tricky conditions, I think speaks volumes about how well South are going at the moment.
They're going very well at the moment, South, and they are in top four, which we'll get to later on when we go through the table. As for Peninsula Power, Adam, as we said, they had a lot of chances in this game. A couple of efforts hit the woodwork, some nice saves from Eliza Evans to keep South that clean sheet. But Peninsula Power had plenty of chances in this game, and it just ultimately wasn't to be their day in terms of they had enough chances to win plenty of games. They just weren't able to capitalise on them at this point in time. And in the front third, some very, very handy players. Now with Bonnie Davies making her return to the competition, and she looked very lively up front, and Tish Woods was all over the park in terms of a perfect midfield performance from her. It just didn't quite click for them in that front third, though, did it?
It didn't, and I think it's taking a bit of time. It'll take a bit of time for that front combination. Anna Hirakawa, who has been their primary goal scorer, all of a sudden sort of handing the reins over to Bonnie Davies, who in this league is an absolutely known quantity as far as scoring goals, and an A League women's standard player, and also young Ashley Hummels as well. So that combination is going to take some time, but it almost felt like, In the moments that mattered, Peninsula Power just, I think they're just unlucky as far as the back pass from Jemima Head that sort of caught JD Chisholm out to led to the open goal for Shana Singh, who I don't think will score an easier goal. And she's been known for some long range bombs over the years. So it's that sort of stuff that sometimes they got punished when sometimes you get away with that. And also as well at the other end, there was a big chance late where Bonnie Davies hit the woodwork, and then Ashley Hummels missed the follow up, and so it's stuff like that where they're just not the crucial moments. But overall, they Peninsula Power, they've got the ability, and they look like they've got the squad to really sort of cause issues for the top teams. It's just going to take some time from to gel. But I think also as well, Emma Stanbury coming into the side, she makes a world difference. And what's even more interesting is that she allows Tish Woods to play further up the park in that midfield. And that they, as I said, I think they have got the potential to be a top team. They've just got to put it together.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to take them a couple of weeks to get this all put together now that they have got a couple of players back from the A-League women's competition. And I think the window is still open. We'll have to wait and see who else could potentially join, not just Peninsula Power, but the whole competition. And you're right, they've got a very good team, Peninsula Power. They're coming from a low base of points because of the start of the season that they've had, but they've got a very good team now and look like they will be a strong force for the second half of the season. Now, after we've caught up with the head coach of South United, Trent Gregson, that's all we had to say. After stopping up 3 points away from home at AJ Kelly Park. We're talking about the coach of South United, Trent Gregson. Trent, 2-0 winners here on a wet evening at Peninsula Power. Really happy with your side's performance here in the wet?
Yeah, stoked. Today was a really defensive win. I think it was probably the best we've defended in a long time. So being able to defend, going to the break, nil all, come through and score 2 goals in the end, absolutely perfect.
Is that the most pleasing thing for you, the clean sheet, the away game here? Two games in a row, including the cup game of the week, you kept a clean
sheet.
Yeah,
no, massive, massive. Obviously, we've got one of our senior keepers out with concussion at the moment. She's missing a long period of time. So, young Eliza is basically our only keeper in the senior section at the moment. So, the way she keeps turning up and forming is unreal.
It's a really busy time for you at the moment. I think it's 4 games in 10 days. She had Mitchelton at the weekend, City midweek, now Power, and then Gold Coast away.
Yep.
And really pleased with the way things are going. 3 wins in those games and I guess really good teams as well.
Yeah, it's been unreal. So obviously the Mitchie game, they gave me a bit of grey hair finishing it in the 90th minute there. But in that game we saw Sonny Franco and Elise Franco both get injured. So coming into the City game, we were forced to rest them as well as Abby Lloyd and Sam Roth, our centre back. So the young ones stepped up and they did their job and got us to win tonight. And even tonight, no Elise, no Sonny, and they got it done, so it's unreal.
You mentioned that you left it late against Mitchelson. I think you've done a lot, so you've scored late goals. What is it about this group that sees them score so many goals late in games?
Mate, they don't quit. Our training sessions are notoriously hard, and we do a lot of playing under fatigue. And it just shows that it's paying off, obviously, but at the same time, they've got something you can't teach. They've got dog in them, and it just doesn't stop.
And just finally, South's been really good in the cup the last couple of years, but this year it's been a lot better in the league in terms of consistency. What do you attribute that to?
I think it's coming back to keeping a lot of the squad we kept last year. So obviously last year was a mini rebuild for us, having Gary leave the club and then some of their, the long-term South players decided to go different paths and stuff like that. A lot went to Knights and they've obviously done really well, beating East Hill tonight. But being able to keep a team consistent and then bring in some really good players like Sam, like Abby, like young Eliza and stuff, has really helped us probably hit that next gear that we were looking for, and we've hit that next gear now.
Thank you to Trent Gregson for talking to us after the game on Saturday evening. We'll move on now to the rest of the action from round 12 of the NPL Women's Competition. And we'll go back to Friday night where Eastern Suburbs played host to QAS out of Nudgee Recreation Reserve, a 6-1 win for Easts. In this game, goals for Kate Musket, Maya Bruckner, Tamar Levin, Tegan Riding, Jess Curran, and Maylin Lewis for East. Emily Doran got a goal back for the QAS in this game, but a pretty comfortable win for East with Tegan Riding making her first start since returning to East and on the score sheet as well.
Yeah, probably the biggest move of all in this transfer window was that Lions as champion. And our player of the year, MVP, Tegan Riding, moving from Lions to Eastern Suburbs, her original club where it all began. So her presence for East makes them incredibly strong as far as their firepower and ability to score goals. And as long as their defence, their defence holds up, they're going to really sort of cause some problems, but also as well, I think there might be a bit of frustration after East were bowed out in the Queensland Cup the previous Tuesday night. So unfortunately, in QAS were the ones that copped six of the best from East.
They did unfortunately cop six of the best from East after their frustration in the Cup during the week. That addition of Tegan Riding into the front third for East, it's such a big addition, is that we know they've already got a great arsenal of fire attacking players with Sophie Pearson and Kyla Hansen and Maya Bruckner and Lauren Askin. As you said, they've got a lot of attacking players, and now they've got that experienced player in the front. And not that Sophie Pearson's not experienced as well, but you've got the all-time leading goal scorer in the NPL Women's Competition to complement that group now, as well as Tamar Levin, who will add to that midfield mix. It's two very, very big additions to this East side, which are shaping up quite nicely to defend their championship at the moment. In terms of the talent they've got, looks like they're going to be right there in the picture at the business end of the season.
I think on paper, they've now got the best squad in the league. I think there's no question about that, where they can all put it together. We can start asking questions. If it doesn't take on, how will that group of attackers, Tegan Riding, Sophie Pearson, Maya Bruckner, Kyla Hansen, how are they all going to coexist? Who's going to play? If you can't really fit four into three, I think Tamar Levin's the big one to watch here, because she's a player that I've always believed that she's a better attacker. We've seen her play, especially for Brisbane Roar in the A-League Women's, as a fullback. And how Lachlan Leong utilises her will be so important. Also, as well, Maitland Lewis, I think, is also a player that is really going to be worth watching in midfield as well. Can score a goal from midfield. So they on paper, I think East, at the moment, I think they may have wrestled favouritism as far as the league goes. Maybe Brisbane City might have words about that. But I do think those two teams, I think, are spectacularly close on paper. I think East just shades them as well, just that experience factor. You put Tegan Riding into that team, and they are a force to reckon with.
I was going to say David De Silva and Brisbane City may have something to say about who's got the best
squad. He might excommunicate me for that.
In the league, and they play on Friday night actually at Heath Park. So it'll be a very, very interesting matchup to kick off round 13 of the NPL Women's Competition. We'll keep on recapping round 12 for the moment. Speaking of Brisbane City, Adam, they had a 4-0 win over the Sunshine Coast. One or two goals to Laney Fryer, one for Sean Fryer, one for Georgia Thompson. And this is just normal service resume for Brisbane City, a very comfortable win at home.
Yeah. It looks like their focus is primarily on the league. They bowed out in the cup midweek, playing a very, very understrength team. And Lani Fryer, Sean Fryer, Georgia Thompson on the score sheet. The old gang is back together.
It is only surprise there's no goals for Steph Latham on this occasion. A very, very rare weekend where we don't see a goal from Steph Latham. I'm sure there'll be a couple next week after we've said that. But the final game played on Saturday evening was down on the Gold Coast Coplick Family Sports Park between Gold Coast United and Lions FC, their second of two meetings this week after they played in the Cup. And Gold Coast United, Adam, they bounced out to a 2-0 lead in the opening 5 minutes with goals from Bronte Rose before two goals from Amy Gunston and a goal from Marielle Hecker got the win for Lions, coming from two goals down to win by 3-2. So they've got that fight in them still, Lions, but they're still falling behind in games too often, aren't they?
They are, and two wins in a week over Gold Coast United, but this one was a bullet dodged. And Amy Gunston is having a tremendous season at the moment. Mariel Hecker's back, gets the equaliser. I don't think Lions have done it either as a dynasty, but you're right. Defensively, in these slow starts against a team like an East, against a team like a Brisbane City, that may not be enough to peg back and rely on those sort of players to get them out of a hole. But Gold Coast United, I think that they were a bit unlucky. I think that they tried to defend that sort of lead in the second half, but it's sort of they're looking good. They wish that the first half didn't end, because Lions come back 2-0 and all three goals scored in the second half, I think. Yes,
the penalty from Amy Gunston was in the first minute of stoppage time.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay,
of that game there. But they've continued on a sensational record they've got down at Coplick. And they played down there 9 times now. 6 wins for Lions in that 9-game span. So they've got a great record down there at Coplick Family Sports Park. They continued that on once again. And Amy Gunston has 12 goals for the season. A fantastic start to the year, as you said, from Amy Gunston. The final game of the round was played on Sunday over at Traubel Park between Mitchelton and Olympic, a 2-0 win for Mitchelton on this occasion. Genevieve McDonald and Charlotte Andrew on the score sheet for Mitchelton in this game. And the two goals in the second half, one just at the beginning of the second half, a bit of a scrappy one, then a nice finish from Charlotte Andrew for the second goal. Adam, and pleasingly, I think, for Alan Moore and Mitchelton, it's a clean sheet, because they don't seem to keep too many clean sheets at the moment. Mitchelton, that's a very important 3 points for them.
It is. It puts a bit of distance between them and the chasing pack as far and the relegation zone. So that's a big win for them. I think the most pleasing aspect probably for Alan Waller will be, as you said, the clean sheet. I think they very rarely keep them. So I think that's a good effort against Olympic team. Although I think they're Olympic team that attackingly do struggle. Seven goals in 11 games for them. So, whereas compared to Mitchelton at the other end, who've scored 31 goals in the league. So there's probably the divide as far as the attacking sort of talent that goes there. But Yeah, I think at least defensively, because they're going to need it defensive. If they're going to factor in themselves, they're at the moment 5 points outside of the top four. If they're going to make a run, it's that defense that needs to improve. Because conversely, for Mitchelton, they have conceded 9 more goals than Lions in fourth, and 21 more goals than Brisbane City and Gold Coast United, who've got the best defensive league records in the league.
And Mitchelton have conceded 33 goals, only the QAS have conceded more. And that actually was their first clean sheet of the season for Mitchelton. As they go through the table now after 12 rounds of the NPL Women's Competition, Brisbane City sit top of the table for another week on 36 points. They are 5 points clear of East in second on 26. And it's Gold Coast United and Lions locked together on 22 points each. That's the top four as things stand. And it's South United on 21, Mitchelton 17, Peninsula Power 8, Sunshine Coast 8, Olympic 7, and QAS 3. So there's a big drop. Once you get past Mitchelton in 6, there is a big, big drop off there. And it's almost the case where Mitchelton are almost in the middle of things here. They've got the top four kind of moving away a little bit from them, and they're nowhere near the bottom end of the table. And so they're almost the bridge club between the two sets, two ends of the table at the moment.
I think they'd be happier being 5 points off the top four and 9 points away from the chasing pack. I think for them, they're probably still a win or two, sort of margin fairer as far as keeping their false hopes up. Because again, if they're a sort of side, they've got a squad that could really sort of factor in if they get together, and their attack fires. There's no doubt, Callie Purifoy and Lauren Bonavita, if they catch a light, they can really score some goals on teams. But the problem has been perpetually for Mitchelton for a number of years, has been defensively, at least in their NPL time.
Certainly, they're free scoring side, Mitchelton. If they can fix up that back end of the field, it could be a very, very dangerous team pushing forward. We'll see how that goes over the second half of the year. We'll move on to the FQPL for this weekend, where there were no actually scheduled FQPL 1 or 2 league games in the FQPL women's competitions. But there were, however, three games and a fourth result, which we can bring to you now. The results on the field are as follows: Gold Coast Knights 6, Virginia United 2, Broadbeach United 4, Southwest Queensland Thunder 1, Robina City 4, Capalabar FC 0. Those games are from rounds 3 and 4 respectively. And the other game, which you mentioned last week, which was a postponement between Logan Lightning and Ipswich FC, or just Knights, I beg your pardon, that was awarded a 3-0 win to Logan. And if you remember, Adam, this was the game which was postponed due to an incident in the 23s game.
Yep.
Prior to that, it's now been awarded a 3-0 win to Logan Lightning. So that's the only action we can bring you from FQPL1 this week.
It is, and we're not going to comment too broadly on that Logan Lightning Ipswich Knights result. That's a decision that's been made by Football Queensland. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the way it is. That may have implications further in the season, but let's leave it at that. But Gold Coast Knights looking like that they're clearly the favourite to in FQPL1, and another lazy 6 goals against Virginia in their catch-up game. Robina City, but I think the ones as well. I think they might be the ones as far as a dark horse in as far as they're challenging for that second place, along with Logan and North Lakes. They beat Capalabar fairly handily, and Capalabar have got a fairly good side. So Robina at the moment, they might be a sort of a smoky as well. And Broadbeach finally won a game against Southwest Queensland Thunder, and at least they're off the foot of the table and stop making me look stupid for tipping them as the premiers this season.
You weren't the only person who picked Broadbeach to go a bit better than where they were on the table. We'll go through that table now quickly in the FQPL1 women's competition. Logan Lightning sit top of the table. They're on 15 points ahead of Gold Coast Knights on 12, Robina 10, North Lakes 9, Capalabar 7, Virginia 5, Thunder and Moreton City on 4, Broadbeach 3, Ipswich Knights on 0. There's a lot of catch-up games still to be played in that competition. And speaking of catch-up games, something which I did not put on our run sheet, so I apologise to you for that on the fly. There were a couple of FQPL 2 men's games played over the weekend, a couple of catch-up games. Magic United 2, North Star 1, Pine Hills 5, Ipswich Knights 4. That's the two catch-up
games. I heard about that game in James Drysdale. Absolute carnage, that. The league of goals, you beauty.
It delivered. In only two games, it delivered plenty of goals. I can tell you, Magic United, with that win, they move up into second place on the table. And Pine Hills, with their win, they jump into the top four as well. And that's a remarkable effort for a side. Again, Pine Hills are another team who come into FQPL 2. First year in, they're going very, very nicely, Adam.
Was that actually at James Drysdale? It was actually at Eric Evans. I know it was 5-4, but like 4-5, I couldn't remember who the home team was. But either way, Eric, be it at Eric Evans or James Drysdale, they're absolute carnage, 9 goals. Magic United looks like the good team right at this week. Very interesting kickoff time, Saturday 3 p.m. for a men's senior game, which I found very interesting at Birmingham Road.
Perhaps it's a lights issue. Who knows? Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason for it, but there you go. So that's all the action we have in terms of league action for it. We'll now move on to some Queensland Cup action. Adam, I might go through the results of these games because some of them are very, very interesting. The results from round 5 of the Queensland Cup in Southeast Queensland. North Star 2, Turinga 2, North Star 3, 4-2 on penalties. Magic 3, Wynnum Wolves 2, Maroochydore 3, Gap 1, Brisbane City 5, Redlands United 4, Lions FC 2, Peninsula Power 0, Caboolture 3, Strikers 3, Caboolture 3 on penalties, Olympic 4, Robina 1, Eastern Suburbs 3, Broadbeach 1, Moreton City 12, Springfield United 1, North Lakes 3, Barden La Trobe 1, Capalaba 3, Bayside 0, Surfers Paradise 3, Sanford 2, Gold Coast United 5, Caloundra 0, and Gold Coast Knights 1, Sunshine Coast Wanderers 1, Sunshine Coast 3, 4-2, all penalties. We might start with that because that is the big story of round 5 of the Queensland Cup / Australia Cup qualifying. It's Gold Coast Knights, the defending Premiers, Champions and Pro Series winners and league leaders of the NPL, they're gone.
That's going to have implications not only to Queensland, but they're the sort of club at the moment, the reputation that they've built under Scott McDonald, that they're a club that at a national level, as far as the national round of 32 in the Australia Cup, that they're a club that you'd expect to be in the draw out of Queensland, a bit like a South Melbourne or a Sydney United or a number of those big teams from interstate that we in Queensland who don't follow it closely, you almost expect them to be in the draw automatically. And for them not to be there, that is a huge result. But firstly, congratulations to Sunshine Coast Wanderers who have been sort of beaten up pretty badly by Gold Coast Knights recently. To get a big win like this at Croatian Sports Centre, that's huge, even if it's on penalties. But I think it's good. That's a fairly big. That's a big result, and big story. That Gold Coast Knights are out of the Queensland Cup, but more so they're out of the Australia Cup.
And that's the beauty of cup football, isn't it? On any given day, anybody can beat anybody. And they have played in round 7 of the cup a couple of years ago, where Gold Coast Knights did beat the Sunshine Coast Wanderers. And we said before on the show in the last couple of weeks, in terms of their league form, Sunshine Coast are improving as a team. They're getting better and better. And there were signs the result was not far around the corner. I didn't think it would be in this game against Gold Coast Knights in the cup, but it's a big, big result for them. What do you make of some of the other results over the last 7 days in the Queensland Cup?
Magic United's one that pops out straight away, going to Carmichael Park and getting a big win over a top four NPL side in Wolves 3-2. Magic, of course, FQPL 2 club. So that's a massive result as well. And I guess the other big result there was Caboolture beating Strikers on penalties up at Moreton Bay Central. While both clubs are in the same division, FQPL 1, Caboolture beat Strikers. Strikers would have fancied themselves as a chance to really go deep in this competition. And they're also out. So some huge scalps in this in this round, and it makes it a very, very fascinating sort of team. Lot of teams that are left in the pot for round six and beyond.
Absolutely. So, in terms of teams that are left in round six of the Men's Queensland Cup, there's 6 of 12 teams in the NPL Queensland. So, 50% of the NPL Queensland are no longer in the cup. Now, I know Brisbane Roar Academy, they're not even in it to begin with, but there's only 6 of 11, if you want to say it that way, NPL teams left, and there's only five teams, Adam, who have been to the Australia Cup round of 32 before left in this competition. They are Surfers of Paradise, Apollo Lions, Lions FC, Olympic FC, Mort City Excelsior, and Brisbane City. So they're the only teams who've previously been there to the Australia Cup. So you're talking about the opportunity now for a few teams here, and we'll go through the next round's draw in a moment. There's opportunities here for teams that have not been to the national round before to experience that. And in terms of the inaugural Queensland Cup, it's a wide open field now with a couple of, with a lot of the NPL teams no longer in the picture.
It is. And just on the sort of technicality of 6 out of 12, 6 out of 11, technically Brisbane Roar are not even in the yeah. Cup at the moment, because they've got a playoff to deal with in July, at least their top team. So your 6 out of 12 probably actually stands, because the Roar are certainly not guaranteed, even though they're playing Perth Glory in the playoff. They're no guarantee either of reaching the final stage. So, yeah, taking us all a sort of technicality, but yeah, you're right. As far as the teams left, and we've actually got the matchups for round six, and there's some fascinating games going ahead.
And these are the matchups for round six of the Queensland Cup. It's Magic United playing host to Surfers Paradise. Apollo, Maroochydore host Lions, Olympic will host North Lakes United, Mort City Excelsior will host North Star FC, East will host Capalabar, Gold Coast United host Caboolture, Sunshine Coast Wanderers host Brisbane City, and up north it will be Brothers Townsville against Southside Comets of Cairns, and then Magpies FC from Mackay against Across the Waves from Bundaberg. So that is the teams left in the Queensland Cup. Some very, very interesting ties there, Adam. One all NPL tie, a bit of a local derby in your neck of the woods, and also a bit of a, not so much a Bayside derby, but I do believe East and Caboolture do play for, I think it's the Salvation Shield between those two clubs, so a bit of a rivalry between those two as well. So some very, very interesting ties in round six.
Yeah, East and Capalabar, they have had a bit of a rivalry in the past, a friendly rivalry, say, but certainly a good opportunity for both clubs. I think they'd really fancy each other at the moment. East going a bit better in that in FQPL one league, but again, you've got to start thinking. Form goes out the window, especially at this stage. Morton City and North Star. North Star will go into this game. A number of their players who have come out of their academy system, their under 23s of the past. I think a few of them really sort of want to take their shot against Morton City. I expect Morton City to get the job done, but that's certainly going to be a particularly quite unquote friendly game, that one, as far as I think a few players might have a bit to prove, but even Sunshine Coast Wanderers and Brisbane City, if the form pattern have fallen, and even Gold Coast Knights versus Brisbane City is what everyone expected, that would have been a decent game. This has just completely flipped the script, and I think both teams will really fancy themselves to get to round seven now, where they thought, oh, maybe it might not be, with Gold Coast Knights looming that part of the draw.
Very, very interesting ties. Those matchups, well, I'm not sure they've been officially scheduled when they will be at this stage, so that'll be coming out later on this week, with some very, very interesting ties in the Queensland Cup men's competition. We'll look at the Queensland Cup women's results now, because that from round four, because they took place over the last week or so as well. Southwest Queensland Thunder 2, Robina 2, Thunder through on penalties. Broadbeach got through via a forfeit of Noosa. Virginia 3, Sanford 1, Morton City 3, Olympic FC 0, Gold Coast Knights 2, East 1, Lions 4, Gold Coast United 1, Power 6, UQ 0, Mitchelton 3-1 over the QAS, I beg your pardon. South United 1, Brisbane City 0, Logan Lightning 4, Capalabar 2, Sunshine Coast 4, Pine Hills 0, and North Lakes United 10, Ipswich Knights 1. So the most interesting result there, Adam, was Gold Coast Knights 2, Eastern Suburbs 1. Again, the defending champions in the NPL gone from the Queensland Cup against a Gold Coast Knights side who they are the team everyone's looking at outside of the NPL. They are the real danger team, and they proved it on Tuesday night in the Cup.
It was a game that we featured on our socials, and Gold Coast Knights, they were very, very good for their win, and they've got a very, very good side. Like they are an NPL quality side, and there's no sugarcoating it. And but again, East are the champs, and I just spent the last couple minutes early in the show saying that that East on paper have got the best squad in the league. Well, Gold Coast Knights knocked them over on the Tuesday night. So I think they Gold Coast Knights are a real threat as far as not only going deep into this, but even potentially winning it, and which means that they could potentially win 4 trophies this season, which would be unprecedented.
Absolutely, be unprecedented. There's no doubt about that. And you mentioned Gold Coast Knights, our NPL team in waiting. Well, they played Mitchelton last year in the Queensland Cup. They took them to extra time before Mitchelton ran over the top of them there. And this, I guess, shows you the progress that they've made in terms of the squad they're building down there at Carrara, that they didn't just take on a mid-table NPL side and take them to extra time. They took on the defending champions and the top two team at the time of the game being played and beat them at home. I know it was at home, but it's a very, very big statement win for Gold Coast Knights. What else in terms of the midweek action took your fancy? A good win for South over Brisbane City. I know it was a weakened lineup, but that's still a big win nevertheless.
That is, but even as you said to me off air when it happened, was that I do say that it was a weakened side from Gold Coast City, but obviously Brisbane City.
Gold Coast City haven't existed for a very, very long time. A great kit back in the day, but they no longer exist. You might find them at Palm Beach. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, mea culpa there. Brisbane City still have a very handy side, so that's still a good win from South United. For me, a bit of bias as far as the big shock win, Moreton City going to Goodwin Park and getting a 3-0 win. Their league form has been fairly patchy, but somehow, some way, Gold Coast United, Moreton City. What's going on here? Moreton City, they have proven to be a cup side. They seem certainly put it together, and that's a big win over an NPL club.
Absolutely, got some Riley Lemke, Carly Anderson, and Summer Brownlee getting the Moreton City Excelsior side the win in that clash there. And we'll look at some of the matchups in the next round of the Queensland Cup Women's, where there are only 5 of 10 NPL teams remain. So once again, 50% of the teams in the NPL have been eliminated from the competition, which opens up some very, very interesting matchups as we look ahead. So Lions FC will host Virginia United. Moreton City Excelsior will host Broadbeach United. Peninsula Power hosts Gold Coast Knights. Mitchelson will host North Lakes United. South United will host Sunshine Coast Wanderers. South West Queensland Thunder will host Logan Lightning. And MA Olympic of Townsville will host either the Mackay Lions or Central FC from Rockhampton in the next round up north, Adam. So it's some very, very interesting ties as we get to the business end of the Queensland Cup Women's as well. I think the Peninsula Power Gold Coast Knights matchup probably takes centre stage in terms of intrigue, but that Mitchelton North Lakes matchup is also one to keep an eye on.
They're probably 1A and 1B as far as the intrigue matchups. Both are inter-sub-division matchups. And to be honest, I actually think that there is a good chance that the FQPL 1 teams could knock over their counterparts in NPL, their opponents. But again, both the NPL sides in Power and Mitchelton do have home field advantage. So that does play a bit of a factor, I think, that we're sort of seeing. And speaking of home field advantage, South West Queensland Thunder, while they having a great record against Logan in the league, a tricky tie going up to I'm not sure we'll still have to wait and see when the scheduling goes, whether it's going to be at Clyde Burkhofer or at Highlands. That will be a big interesting factor. Again, home field advantage will be very, very telling, as will Moreton City against Broadbeach, which is a rematch of a round four in the Kappa Women's Super Cup last year, where Moreton City beat Broadbeach at that stage. So it's going to be very, very interesting. As far as just quickly on North Queensland, I think MA Olympics start favourites. As far as they've been with Edge Hill gone, they look like they're probably the side that will drop into the semi-final stage when we get down to the last four.
They would be the favourites, no doubt, about that MA Olympics. And that would be a very interesting tie as well when we get to that, because that won't happen until the semi-final, I believe, when that crossover happens. Mm. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's quarterfinals in the men's version of the Queensland Cup where we see the crossover happen. 8-4, we see the winner of the regional team enter with 7 Southeast Queensland teams in the women's. It's once you get down to the last four, we'll see what happens.
That would be because of the Australia Cup in a couple months' time.
So what's that?
That'll be because of the Australia Cup part for the men's. That's why they would drop in. They drop into that what would used to be we call round seven. But now it's the quarterfinals.
Yeah, now that is where we stand in the Queensland Cup men's and women's. The other cup action played over the weekend was from match day 5 of the Pro Series. The results, we might go through these group by group, then we'll talk about where the state of play is in each of those groups. In Group A, Logan Lightning 2-1 winners over Southside Eagles, Rochester Rovers 2, Wynnum Wolves 2, and Moreton City Excelsior, the NPL variety, 2-0 winners on the road against Broadbeach United. Adam, all of that means that in Pool A, Moreton City Excelsior finished top of the pool on 15 points, 5 wins out of 5. Wynnum Wolves through in second on 8 points, ahead of Rochdale on 7, Logan 6, Broadbeach 4, and Southside Eagles 3. So that group is all complete and probably the way you would have expected it to end up.
Given in Pool A, Moreton City were the number one seeds going into that. Yes, 5 out of 5, it's as expected. But I think when this draw came out, you probably would expect Rochdale to probably be in, probably finish second in that group, but then again, Wynnum Wolves have shown they are in stellar form. So I think it's well deserved for them to get a quarterfinal berth. In Pool B, Gold Coast Knights have qualified with a game in hand, and it's going to be very interesting. The Gold Coast Knights and Sunshine Coast Wanderers they meet midweek in the Pro Series. Given the events of tonight, it will be very, very interesting to see what happens there, because a Gold Coast Knights win, and they absolutely smash Sunshine Coast Wanderers four goals or more, Brisbane Strikers will get the ticket through to the quarterfinals. So that's going to be fairly interesting as far as where we're at the state of play of Pool B. But Gold Coast Knights are in. And we'll see if they're in a mood to extract some revenge after tonight's result.
Yes, and the games which were played in Pool B, Sunshine Coast Wanderers played midweek, a catch-up game against Brisbane Royal Academy. Sorry, that's a catch-up game when you're referring to. That's the one you're referring to. Gold Coast Knights and Sunshine Coast, they play in a catch-up game from earlier on in the competition. The results from round 5, Sunshine Coast Wanderers 3, Brisbane Royal 1, Gold Coast Knights 4, St George Billabong 3, Brisbane Strikers 3, Southwest Queensland Thunder 2. And as you said there, Adam, Gold Coast Knights, they are through at the moment. They're on 12 points, 4 wins out of 4. Sunshine Coast are on 9 points from 4 games. Brisbane Strikers, 9 points from 5 games. St George Billabong, Brisbane Royal Academy and QAS all further down the standings. But you mentioned it. Gold Coast Knights play host to Sunshine Coast in one of the 3 remaining Pro Series games. If Knights win, then they're through 5 wins out of 5. If Sunshine Coast Wanderers get a point out of this game or all 3 again, then they would be through in second. If Wanderers, as you said, lose by the required margin, Brisbane Strikers could yet get through. So of the 3 remaining matchups, there's one more in Pool C, which we'll get to in a minute, but I'll Pool D, beg your pardon, in a minute. But this one is very, very interesting. And you'd have to imagine Gold Coast Knights have to be knocked out of the Queensland Cup will not want to do Sunshine Coast Wanderers any favours midweek.
No, but then again, it'll be dependent on whether they decide to rotate, given that they've got nothing to play for. So that's a fascinating. I think the team lineup will be very, very important to see where they're at, whether Gold Coast Knights will come out firing, looking to play themselves back into form. At the end of the day, it is a one-all draw, and it is penalties that beat them. So we can't say that the performance was a terrible one from Gold Coast Knights. I think it's just the form of where those two clubs are at the moment in the league is probably what was the deciding factor. So that's going to be all important as far as that. But it'll be interesting whether Gold Coast Knights, you know, they do go out there and look to really go put on a scoreline, and as we know, they're capable of doing, and whether Barrow Bristol Strikers could be the beneficiaries of that.
Somebody tells me Gold Coast Knights will do Sunshine Coast Wanderers absolutely no favours in that one after what happened tonight in the Queensland Cup. As for Pool C, the results from Match Day 5, Brisbane City 8-0 winners over Mitchelton FC, Peninsula Power 5-1 winners over Olympic, Capalaba 5, Ipswich FC 2 in the other game. Now, this group was basically all but decided. I think Olympic needed a massive win over Peninsula Power and to correct a big goal difference back in their favour. I think it was something like 6+ goals they had to win the game by. It was a very, very unlikely event to happen, and the Olympic didn't necessarily look likely they were going to get the result, and Power got through. Adam, both City and Power finished top of the group on 13 points each. Olympic on 7, Mitchelton 3, Capalaba 1, Ipswich FC 0. And there is still one game to be played between Mitchelton and Capalaba, and it is a game with precisely 0 to play for. But the good thing is this year it's basically the only game in the final round where there's not much to play for, because there's been a lot to play for in some of the other games at least.
It has, and I've said it a couple of times, and thankfully Football Queensland saw the merit to have a quarter final and top two for the group, so which made interesting, because it would have also been fairly unjust that if it was just top of the group, that Brisbane City, they got a courtesy of a massive win, like 14-0 win over Capalaba early in the round. That pretty much would be the determining factor that got them through over Peninsula Power, who only put 7 on them. So, but Olympic. A Olympic gave up before they even went. We were actually at AJ Kelly Park. This game was played after the South and Pinchel Power NPL Women's game, and we sort of know that the squad they put out there, it was a very, very young squad. So I think Chris Grossman, I think he took the opportunity to look at some young players for the future in this, in a game that had, I think realistically, had very little consequence.
Yeah, it was a long shot, even with their absolute best side, they would have got the margin they needed, and they took the chance, as you said, to blood some of their 23s. And hopefully for Chris Grossman and Olympic's sake, there's some young players who showed something in that game that could potentially see them take part in the NPL over the rest of the season. The final group, Pool D, got Lions FC 3-1 winners over Redlands United. Moreton City, the FQPL variety, 4, East 3, and there's one game left to be played. It is Caboolture against Gold Coast. You know, that game was postponed because obviously Gold Coast had the weekend Australia Cup or Queensland Cup tie. So that game we played midweek, Adam, and that game is probably the most interesting game of the three remaining, because Lions, they're through on 15 points, 5 wins out of 5. Gold Coast United 9, Caboolture 7, Redlands 6, Moreton City 4, East 0. It's winner takes all up at Moreton Bay Central midweek. And if a draw is enough for Gold Coast, but Caboolture at home, as we said before we started recording, they will fancy their chances in this tie.
Absolutely. This is absolutely fascinating. I think the big headline fact is that it is at Moreton Bay Central, which means that Gold Coast United, it's a long, long trek up from Talabudra for a pro series game midweek. And I think Caboolture might, again, they might, as you said, they may fancy themselves against maybe a Gold Coast United team that they're really going to have to bring their professionalism if they want to go through the next round, because this is not an easy tie. Caboolture have shown, especially with Paul Arnson at coaching Caboolture, his side notoriously can be very, very tough to play. And at home midweek, this is certainly not a lay down Mazaire. So if there's anyone that wants to gamble irresponsibly on this, I wouldn't take the short odds on Gold Coast United. Look, I expect them to win on paper, but there's so many factors in this where, look, it would not shock me if we got to Wednesday night and we hear that Gold Coast United have been beaten by Caboolture. A draw is enough for Gold Coast United, by the way. So maybe that's what they play for. Let's hope not, but it will be enough. But I would not be shocked if Caboolture get through, and they may be the only FQPL one team to advance to the quarterfinals, or at least they're the one. They're the only team that have their hopes of progressing to the quarterfinals in their own hands.
They do. Obviously, said Brisbane Strikers could get there if the result between Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast goes their way. Caboolture and Gold Coast have played once before in the Pro Series last year. It was a win for Gold Coast. You know, we'll see if they can replicate that. But this is a very, very interesting matchup during that. We'll see how that does pan out. We might talk about how that does wrap up next week once those are all completed. And we're not sure exactly how the quarterfinals match up in the Pro Series. We might look at that during the week and potentially talk about the quarterfinals next week on the show in the Pro Series, but that'll do it for this. That will do it for this edition of the NPL Sunday Show. Oh, sorry, I'm forgetting. Form of the week. This week. I knew I was forgetting something. Form of the week. What do you got?
Form of the week. I'm gonna go with Amy Gunston. Her incredible form is continuing, and to get a very valuable 3 points for Lions against Gold Coast United with the winning goal in stoppage time from a corner. She is having an amazing season. And I actually echo a little comment that was in Queens of Football Culture, and their stories wrap up that if no A-League clubs are looking at Amy Gunston, assuming that she stays fit, they've got rocks in their head. No, look, I agree, because at her best, you and I both know she's a player that can play at that level. It's whether she stays injury free. If she has a decent run of form, I think you can do a hell of a lot worse than any of the 12 A-League women's clubs having a look at her for next season on a contract.
All of her teammates from that great Lions FC team, well, the vast majority of them, have all had their chance at A-League women's competition. Amy Gunston also deserves her chance, no doubt about that. For my form of the week, I'll go same game, different other goal scorer, Marielle Hecker. Fantastic long-range strike to level the scores, and it's just great to see her back on the field. And hopefully it's the start of something special for her, not just at full line to see in the NPL, but also back in the A-Leagues with Brisbane Roar, hopefully next season as well, which is such a tremendous player. And hopefully now the injuries behind her, we'll start to see the best of her going forward. Now that will do it for the decision of the Brisbane Football Review NPL Sunday Show. Adam, thanks for joining me on the show this week.
Thank you and good night.
We'll be back to recap all the league and cup action next week. We'll talk to you all again then.